Hello and welcome to Romance of the Two Networks. I'm your host this time, Em. I am joined as always by Jen.
Hello.
And Jackson.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about the Three Kingdoms and ask once again, why is Wu bad at everything?
Oh, Wu's so bad.
I really just want them to be cool so I can abandon Xuanda and support a kingdom I can get behind. And I guess they're just the endearing underdogs who can't make it work. Like, they've got the plucky upstart team, everyone's disadvantaged, but every time they come together, the plan, it just dissolves into nothing.
And yet, they remain very secure in the Southlands more than either of the other two. They've had the Southlands forever.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, honestly. Inertia is a motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah, it helps that most of the plans are like, oh, why don't we start something, and then Cao Cao appears. It's like, never mind, we're gonna just sit tight.
For as much as, like, a lot's been going on, the Sun family remain pretty locked in.
Yeah. So we're reading chapters 20, messing everything up. We are reading chapters 64 through 66 this week. Chapter 64, Kong Ming sets a scheme to capture Zhang Ren. Yang Fu borrows troops to vanquish Ma Chao. Yang Yan offers to lead Zhang Fei to Xuanda via a series of checkpoints controlled by officers loyal to him, who agree to surrender Xuanda as they go, hoping to seize on an opening while waiting for Kong Ming and Zhang Fei to arrive. Xuanda attacks Zhang Ren, but it goes badly, and he is bailed out by Zhang Fei's early arrival. Kong Ming arrives, and after a fresh strat from the Director General and several defections from Zhang Ren's officers, Zhang Ren is bested, captured, and executed. One of the defecting officers sends a letter to Liu Zhang, compelling him to surrender, but he tears the letter up and asks for aid for Zhang Lu, his rival. Meanwhile, Ma Chao is still alive, I guess, and making a conquest of Longzhi. However, everyone in the region hates him, and a recently defeated officer, Yang Fu, fakes surrender and raises an army against Ma Chao. Cao Cao's forces arrive at the same time, and between the two, Ma Chao is forced to run again, regrettably not dead. He joins up with Zhang Lu just in time for Liu Zhang's letter of aid to arrive. Zhang Lu is on the fence, but one man says he can capture Xuanda and get it done. Who is this? Read on. This is Six's editorializing. Six is not here today, so I read the summaries. Did not write them. Yep. I think Ma Chao is showing up to get his moment in the sun. He's fine.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's a cool guy, and he's got some cool guy shit to do.
Yeah. Finally, someone's here remembering this should be a book about cool guys and not increasingly middle-aged disappointments.
It is an age of heroes.
Yeah.
He definitely gets more time in the sun in the next chapter, but yeah, it's nice to see someone making a movement in this book.
The Age of Heroes wants to sell you a loot crate about how cool the Southlands are.
Yeah.
So how are we feeling about this?
This chat was pretty good.
These were long chapters this week. Was this just me, or was they really long chapters?
66 was a bit shorter, but the first two were
really long.
Just pretty long. Not much more happened in them than usual. They just kind of were long.
Yeah,
they're long.
Yeah, 64 especially felt like it kind of ran on for me a little bit, and there were definitely parts where my eyes started skimming a little bit because not much was happening.
For sure.
I like that Zhang Fei's move last time pays off huge with Yang Yan. Turns out, don't just murder everyone. You have to think slightly ahead of that.
If you could only recruit people to your team will only get stronger.
It's true. They finally learned this halfway into the book.
Yeah.
I love how they ride through 20 strong points, and anytime someone puts up the least amount of resistance, Yan Yan just goes, if I surrendered, why don't you? And the strong point leader's like, huh, good point. And then the surrender happens.
Gotta know which way the wind is blown. That's the key to survival.
That's fucking true.
If there's nothing else, I guess we can move on to 65.
Yeah, the next two have the stuff really going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 65. Ma Shao attacks Jianming Pass. Liu Bei assumes protectorship of the Riverlands. Protectorship should be in 1700 quotes. the speaker from last chapter is Ma Shao, and he heads out at once to face Zhuanda's forces. Meanwhile, Zhuanda captures Mian Zhu just in time to hear of Ma Chao's coming. Kong Ming nags Zhang Fei into swearing that he'll hold Zhang Men Pass and defeat Ma Chao. Ma Chao and Zhang Fei battle to a standstill, and to break the stalemate, Kong Ming schemes to turn Long Zhu and Ma Chao against each other. Now with enemies on all sides, Ma Chao defects to Zhuanda, then heads to Chengdu to compel Liu Zhang to surrender. Weeping, Liu Zhang bows out, and at last Zhuanda holds the kingdom of Shu. Lord Guan, curious of Ma Chao's strength, announces his intention to head to Shu and challenge him to a fight. Kong Ming, certain one of the two would die from the contest, appeases Lord Guan and talks him out of it. In the south, another plan is made to make take Jing Zhao. What is it? Read on.
Ma Chao's so fucking cool.
Yes. Yeah. Immediately, just like, nope, I'm losing. I guess I'll pick the side I think we'll win. Same.
Yep. But also, like, so he fights Zhang Fei a bunch of times, and they're like doing these battles and being called back when it's getting too dangerous. And then there's like a moment where they could press the advantage, and Zhuanda's like, no, we are honorable, we will not press the advantage. I deploy no tricks. Goes back, walks directly into his like, you know, the room with all the officers, and they go, all right, we've got a good trick here. We are just going to convince someone else to convince him to surrender. Yeah. And he's like, yo, that rules. Let's get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's get this one guy Yang Song some money. He likes money, and he'll just take care of things for us.
Yeah. Zhuanda does it. He's got the whole place now. Success.
Chapter 65, Three Kingdoms.
120. Yeah.
They're here.
Three Kingdoms.
Gotta say, I thought that the formation of the Third Kingdom would be a bit flashier than just bribing a bunch of people.
I mean, that's how you do, like, I mean, I thought that's the point of the Riverlands thing, is this is how you do a real campaign rather than just killing everyone.
Yeah, Riverlands are very much, we're going to smash and grab everything and see how well that's worked out for the people in the south or whatever, you know, like.
Like, this whole section of the book basically exists to me as like a, here's how you should probably go about conquering people if it's got to be done.
Well, yeah, because then you have to live with them.
Right. Cause, and it's not like a moral argument. I mean, like, it is just wonder, but the book is definitely very, I feel, presenting this in a very practical, matter-of-fact way, where Kong Ming's like, yeah, no, we got a rule. We got a rule, and you need people to be alive to rule. You need fields where you can make grain. You know, you can't just destroy the infrastructure while you walk into a town.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a bit where after the territory is surrendered over to Zhuanda, there's two generals that are not having it, and his men's first reaction are, oh, let's go kill them. But Shwanda's like, if we just kill people who disagree with us like this, it's not going to go over well. So he ends up winning them over by just going up to them and being, like, very nice to them.
There's also that guy earlier in the chapter, it might have been the one before, I forget the exact point, but the one guy who refuses to surrender on their campaign, and Zhuanda is just overcome. He's like, that guy's so cool, I can't believe I had to kill him. the classic Cao Cao move.
Indeed.
Yeah. The bit with Lord Guan is amazing, because Lord Guan's like, oh, someone else is as good as me, I need to go and challenge them. And Kong Ming's whole thing is to send a letter like, look, this guy's cool, but he's like as cool as these three other people. Maybe on his best day, he's as cool as Zhang Fei, and you know you could take that motherfucker any day. So just chill, because if you kill him, we're down one general, and if you leave and lose the city, it's egg on your face. So maybe just relax. And he's like, ah, this is exactly what I need to hear. Thanks.
He just takes the letter and shows it to everyone. Like, look, Kong Ming is better than all you.
You know what? The thing is, Kong Ming is right.
Correct. Guan Yu fucking rules.
Yes.
There's a lot of like discussions about how to govern the Riverlands in this chapter or so.
Yes.
when like I forget, what was it exactly about? It was, I forget the specific thing, but Juan is trying to do something, and literally in the text, Carmen comes up to him as like, you cannot be such a baby about this. Nobody's going to take you seriously. Oh, right. It was sending the old ruler like immediately to Jingzhou, where he can't cause any fucking trouble. Get out of here. You can't start a rebellion against us. And Juan is like, we just took over a city. We can't kick him out as well. And coming literally goes, you will last a week. You're going to last a week if you don't do this.
Yeah. You can't overthrow the government and then leave the people in charge around. They will just try to murder you.
You learned nothing. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Fair enough on that.
Kong Ming desperately trying to get Xuanda to act the least bit aggressive or fortuitous.
Well, this is what happens when Xuanda skipped town and didn't stick around to find out what happened to all the other conspirators against Cao Cao 15 years ago. Yeah. They all got horribly murdered while he was off having campaigns.
Yep. There's also the bit about the like the punishment, the severity of the laws, and someone wants to reduce the severity of the laws, but then Cummings like, I get it, but the problem here isn't that the laws are too severe. It's that they weren't enforced, so nobody like believes in them. So we have to.
Or they were enforced. They were forced haphazardly, where people would like, you know, bolster up their friends even if they were bad at the jobs, and suppress talent if they weren't like related to them. And then no one was willing to do the work, and then everyone was jockeying for position. So no one was grateful when they got a promotion, like you should be. Which, you know, takes us back to Xuanda when he was dutifully being the governor of very small provinces, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I really appreciated this stuff because, you know, the, like, treatise on what it means to be, like, a Neo-Confucian ruler in the 1400s of, like, you know, it's like one of the things of what the book was about in a big way.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
And nepotism does not let you run a country.
No, it does not.
Yes.
Yeah. As we're seeing a bit with Cao Cao in pretty soon.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to chapter 66?
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 66 is a lone swordsman. Guan presents himself at Lu Su's feast. Empress Wu lays down her life for her house. As Six notes, and I would have brought up, it says Empress Wu in the chapter title, but in the text she's called Empress Fu. I don't know if this is an error. I assume so.
Yep. I don't know.
Yeah. Southland's officer Zheng Xiao offers a strategy: hold Kong Ming's brother's family hostage in exchange for Jingzhou. Kong Ming convinces Xuanda to offer half of Jingzhou in exchange for the family, but Lord Guan refuses to comply. Frustrated, Lu Su invites Lord Guan to a murder mystery dinner. Lord Guan manages to attend and leave the party without the attempt on his life coming to fruition. So Sun Quan prepares to march on Jingzhou. Unfortunately for him, Cao Cao is back again with 300,000 troops. Back to Cao Cao, his advisors remind him that he keeps doing these hundreds of thousands of men campaigns in the Southlands where he fails every single time, meanwhile allowing his opponents to just bolster up their economies and become strong and satisfied. So Cao Cao cancels the attack and works on infrastructure, building schools and farms and, you know, building up people who can fight a better campaign in the future. Cao Cao decides that he wants to be officially named King of Wei and probes the emperor, who is not accommodating to this idea at all. Fearing for the emperor's life, Empress Fu organizes an assassination attempt against Cao Cao. The plot is discovered, and the conspirators, including the empress, are killed. In his wake, Cao Cao offers up his daughter as the new empress. Relaxing, Cao Cao consolidates his power and prepares to attack Zhang Lu. Would he succeed? Read on.
Read on.
The bit where Lord Guan escapes from that dinner/assassination attempt is straight out of an action movie. Like, he pretends to be a bit drunk, then goes for his sword, grabs Lu Su in his other hand, and just, like, hostage walks him over to the boat that's waiting for him, and then takes off.
I will say, Lord Guan is in the wrong here. They're gonna go to, you know, they're gonna offer this exchange. We want Jingzhou. You promised when you got the Riverlands you would just give it to us because it's ours. We helped you secure it and have it, and now you gotta give it back. And he's like, oh no, I'll give you half. And they're willing to make a deal. They're willing to accept this. They go to Lord Guan, and Lord Guan's like, we're here as our kingdom to restore the power of the Han. We can't restore the power of the Han if we're giving people or giving lands to the Southlands. And he's wrong. Like, the whole point here is they both need to form a united front against Cao Cao. If they were united, they could stomp Cao Cao tomorrow. Unfortunately, they cannot, because Lord Guan cannot see the forest for the trees.
There's a bit of an... I'm curious how people read this, because there's a bit of an ambiguity about the way the Kunming stuff goes down here. Is Kunming doing this as a front because he knows that Lord Guan will not turn it over? Or is Lord Guan actually defying?
I think Lord Guan is actually defying.
I mean, he is actually defying the letter, but at the start of the chapter, Kunming is like, I've got a plan, we got this, we're gonna do this, and then he breaks down crying in front of his brother in a very performative way.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell, because the book doesn't tip the hand that Kunming knows that the brother's family is fine, right? The whole thing is Kunming's brother allows his family to be taken hostage, quote unquote, so he can make the appeal to Kunming. His family is not necessarily in any real danger. But they don't ever say that Kunming knows this, right, other than Kunming has read the script.
Yeah, and they know that Kunming's read part of the situation, right? Because he sees his brother coming, he's like, ah, this is about Jingzhou. I know exactly what's happening now. But yeah, the second it gets to the family stuff, he does seem earnest. And there's another scene later on with Sun Quan, where he's like, "What? Is Kunming having us here? Is he on one?"
I mean, Kunming, appeasing the South with only half of Jingzhou seems like a good exchange to me. Like, they're ready to go to war at all times because they have been, Xuanda has been screwing them over this entire time about this one point of pride that they have. We want this land. You promised to give it to us. And if everyone could be settled with a 50-50 split, it seems like that would be the smartest thing to do. So I feel like he just buys into this thinking Lord Guan will comply and then they won't have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah. I got the impression that Kunming and Xuanda both knew that Lord Guan wouldn't do it, because there's that bit that you mentioned where they're performatively sobbing over having to give the land over and agree to one half. But before they head over there, both Xuanda and Kunming make a point of saying, Lord Guan has a bit of a temper. I'm not sure whether he'll do this for you. And then once the person gets back to them, they're like, oh, well, we can push this to the side until we conquer some other territory. Then everything will be fine. So I got the impression that they never intended to even give that half up at all.
I don't know. I feel like it makes sense to give it up. I think it's unwise to not do so.
Yep. They've got their home base now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree on that for sure. I'm just not sure whether Kunming and Xuanda ever intended to actually give that half up.
Also, the biggest tactical error that Xuanda made in all of this was letting his wife leave, not talking to her. Because at one point there was an actual union between the Southlands and Xuanda's camp, now Shu, right? It wasn't intended in many ways. It was meant to be a trick, but that was a real marriage that they did, and everyone just had to deal with it for a while until she left.
Yeah, I mean, Xuanda is still going around you took my wife, now you want to take my land. Just on one about this.
Yeah, because it comes up, but that's your fault. If you had secured, there was an actual, concrete link between the Southlands and Shu, this would be over. You had it. You mm-hmm. had it, and yeah. you let it go.
Yeah.
A lot of people in this book dying out of shame. There's a... When it's proposed that Cao Cao takes up a kingdom, takes the role of kingship, Xu Niu is like, look, we already gave you the 9 dignities. That's the highest anyone can be honored. You're good. And Cao Cao just gets very bitter about that and makes some snide remark to Xu Niu. And 10 days later, he gets sick and dies. People just tend to drop dead in this story over harsh words.
It's interesting because he doesn't seem to want to be King of Wei until someone suggests that maybe he should think about it, and then he definitely wants it a lot suddenly. but he's functionally in charge of everything. I feel like this is an overreach, even for Cao Cao. He could just be happy being in charge of everything. It's not like the Emperor has left his house in 3 decades.
I don't buy this. I absolutely, like, people argue a lot about how much is, like, book propaganda, and, like, to me, the whole thing's just a story, right? Like, obviously, it's based on something. I just read it as a text. But this is definitely a chapter where suddenly it's like, Celso already has all this power. He doesn't, I don't think he really cares about this title. That's never been his thing.
Well, I could see Sasa as someone who's constantly looking for more, right? Like, he's trying to shore up his kingdom against these two other upstarts. They're, you know, ostensibly kings of their own realm. I guess we're calling Xuanda a protector right now, but let's be real.
Three kingdoms!
Yes.
He did throw a fit over the 9 dignities thing, too. Like, when someone was like, oh, you could have all these things, and another visor's like, that's not the best look for you to actually take all that. And he's like, shut the fuck up, I want this. So, yes. He has a habit of hearing about something cool that he could have, and then immediately thinking, well, I deserve this, I should have this.
Yes. I do like that the assassination plot is, like, written down and hidden in someone's hair, and Cao Cao just is very good at sniffing out these plots because they've happened to him over and over and over again.
This plot is, I have to say, some real weak sauce shit.
Yes, it's very rickety, even compared to the other rickety plans against Cao Cao.
It lasts about a page.
Yes.
Yeah, it all comes apart because someone's... Well, this person is basically storing the letter in his top knot under his hat, and his hat falls over, and Sasa's like, oh, you're okay with your hat? And this eunuch's like, oh yeah, it's all good. And then he puts his hat on backwards, and that makes Sasa go, wait a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, thwarted. The Empress is killed. All of her family are killed or arrested or whatever. And he's like, I've got a daughter. You know, she's in your harem already. Just make her your wife. So there you go. Continues to chip away at this poor Emperor's lack of power and control. Do you think the Emperor... Jackson, you know the answer to this, but you say you can't answer. Do you think the Emperor makes it through all this? Jen?
I think that the Emperor will likely die within the next 5 or 10 chapters.
Okay. I think it'd be really interesting to see, like, I assume Cao Cao loses. I guess I don't know. But I'd be really interested to see, like, another country roll up and then do the exact same thing to the Emperor again, but, like, a little nicer about it. Like, no, you don't actually have power, but, you know, we're going to let you get out of your house a little more. I want that story of, you know, the person at the head might change, but the ways in which power is used are not. But you're right. He probably is going to get killed. It feels like Cao Cao. There's very little stopping Cao Cao now.
Yeah, especially since one of the members of the royal family just attempted to plot against his life.
Yeah. But yeah, we got Cao Cao trying to, you know, rebuild his infrastructure because he keeps throwing walls of humans at the war. So
you can't keep playing harassment. You got to turtle up at some point. You missed the chance. You can't just keep doing this. Everyone else is building up their armies.
Well, that's the thing. His whole reason that he's gotten so far is because he has all these resources. And if he's expending them all, eventually he's just going to, you know, have a big empty land that he doesn't have the facilities to control anymore.
Also, now it's like a 3-way balance of power. That's like the thing, right? Yeah. Like, he's no longer the guy against some upstarts.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Southlands are really entrenched. Shu seems like they are small but very powerful.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a problem.
Yeah, like, I know the map shifts.
Like, when you look at a map, Shu seems, like, relatively large, but the way they describe it makes you seem like they were, like, remote, relatively enclosed, so they just kind of flourish, so they have, you know, they're the high resources, low population civilization, right?
Yeah, and I think their, like, size is fairly, like, big, but it's more because of their location in the Riverland. It's just a very different kind of environment.
Yeah. So any other thoughts?
It's good. I'm glad the Three Kingdoms are here.
I would like something to go right for Wu once in their miserable lives.
Give him an opportunity to actually take Jingzhou, and maybe that makes things difficult for Cao Cao for a bit, but it'd be nice to have some sort of win on their end.
Yeah. All right, I guess that's it for this week. Sorry for any pronunciation. Six normally does this, and I think does a better job than I do. Trying my best. Plugs. Jackson, why don't you go first?
You can find me at headfallsoff on twitter.com, and you can find the podcast that me and Em do at abnormalmapping.com. There's a whole bunch there. They're good.
Yeah. You can find me at em_being on Twitter. If you'd like to support the Abnormal Mapping Patreon, that's patreon.com/abnormalmapping. For $1, you get Great Gundam Project, where we're watching G Gundam, and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. The episodes have been very good recently. I feel like we're on a roll as we're heading towards the end. Jen.
So you can find me at jbu3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We have some Oops All Anime episodes around the corner for some recent stuff. And we also just released one of our... most recently restarted Novel Not New with Olivia joining us as one of the co-hosts. And our episode on 80 Days is up if you go to readinggames.online. Or you can find on Abnormal Mapping as well.
Yeah. Do you plug Scanline Patreon for people?
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I did, but I'll do it again.
Okay. I don't remember.
Patreon.com/ScanlineMedia.
Yeah. Of course, you can find this podcast on the Scanline Network. And until we're back next week, read on.
Read on.
Read on.